colleague of mine who pastors a church in Ife, and he was telling me that, you know, it's practically raining also in Ife all day. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. But rain or no rain, amen, somebody. What has to be done will be done. Amen, somebody. How many people know that God is active 24 hours? I want to commend the spirit and the attitude of those of us who are here early. Amen, somebody. Or in spite of the rain. Amen. You know, we are talking about attitude. Amen, somebody. Attitude makes a lot of difference. You're going to be saying in a minute what we are talking about. This message cannot come other than such an important time as this. Let's go to our text. Philippians 2, that's where we take our text from. Philippians 2 verse 5. Philippians 2 verse number 5. If you're there, say amen. God's word says, let this mind, so I say this mind, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if you read the scripture, you'll notice that it's talking about a particular kind of mindset. Now, the question is this. What kind of mindset did Jesus have? Hello? If you study this passage, you will agree with me that Jesus possessed the mindset or the attitude of what? Humility. Amen, somebody? So, when he says, let this mind, he's talking about that mindset, that attitude, attitude of humility, attitude of submission, attitude of obedience. Because it's very particular. Let this mind, say this mind, somebody. When you say this, that's specific. You are talking about something, you know, specifically. Let this mind, and you know, for you to know that the word mind here is actually the word attitude. There's a translation known as the New American Standard Version. It says, have this attitude in yourselves. So it's talking about attitude. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the word mind here is the word attitude. Amen. In fact, I think it's the Good News translation of that same scripture. It says the attitude you should have. So it's talking about a particular kind of attitude. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. The one that what? Christ Jesus had. We have been speaking, or I started last week Tuesday to speak on developing a positive attitude. Developing. The word develop means to cultivate. It means to grow. A positive attitude is not a gift. A positive attitude is not automatic. It is something you grow. So I say grow. You have to cultivate it. You have to develop it. It's not something that is given to us naturally. Amen, somebody? It's something you need to acquire and grow and develop. And the capacity to have a positive attitude is there. It's available to everybody. I define also, I gave us several definitions last week of what an attitude is. Among the definitions, I said that an attitude is a settled way of thinking and feeling about a thing. A settled way. Look at that word, settled. When we talk about attitude, attitude means your viewpoint, your perspective, your posture. You know, listen, everybody has a posture or a stand on how we look at things or see things. And I also went ahead to explain to us what a positive attitude is. What is a positive attitude? A positive attitude is the kind of attitude that you are supposed to have in any given situation. Or a positive attitude is the kind of attitude that God wants you to have in any given circumstance. Please notice what I said. Any given situation of life. That certainly means that that God has an expectation concerning your attitude. There are attitudes that you are supposed to display, that God expects you and I to display in any given circumstance. Now, when I say circumstance, whether it's good or bad or ugly, because the reality is this, in life, we face all kinds of situations. Yes or no? That's the truth. You're going to face good situations. You're going to face bad scenarios. You're going to face ugly scenarios. Now, the onus is on you to display the right kind of attitude in those situations. At times, many people don't do well. When things don't go well, I mean, come and see the way people begin to manifest. Amen, somebody. And when I say manifest, I mean even believers. So. Amen, somebody. Manifest. I'm talking about a real manifestation, though. Not manifesting devils, amen, but manifesting the attitude. Amen, somebody. As if to say God has gone on vacation. Amen. So look at your neighbor and tell, say, God expects you to have the right kind of attitude. No matter where you know, I was listening to a man of God recently. It was Creflo Dollar. He was talking about, I can't remember the title of the message, but the illustration of what he gave stayed with me. He said he was privileged to go to the prison that Apostle Paul was housed before he was, you know, executed. Amen, somebody. I mean, it was like a dungeon. I mean, deep into the ground. You see, the only source of seeing light is very small. That man wrote the book of Philippians from that cell. And he said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, now, a man who was in chains, who was happy and cheerful. There are people who are not in physical chains and they are sad. So that man is even better off than somebody walking on the street, amen, somebody, who is not in chains, but despondent. So, you know, it says a lot about, you know, how you respond to the situation of life. When there's no money in your hand, how do you respond? Hello, somebody? When things are not going the way you expect, how do you respond? You see, how we respond in those scenarios, it is an indication of our attitude. When somebody gives excuse or excuses easily for virtually everything, is an indication of what? Your attitude. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, your attitude is important. You see, that's why God is interested in you and I having what? The right kind of attitude in any situation. You see, if a Christian can walk successfully on their attitude or allow God to help them to cultivate better attitude, it will change their lives forever. Hello? You know, you know, worrying is a negative attitude. How many people know that? Worrying. And do you know something? Worry does not change anything. If you worry from morning till evening, that doesn't mean that thing will change. Hello? I mean, there are all... You see, if we have right attitude, then we also have what? Wrong attitudes. If you have good attitude, then there are bad attitudes. Then I proceeded by sharing with us, I said there are certain truths about your attitude that you need to know. Certain truths. What's a truth? A truth is simply a knowledge or information that you need to be aware of. You see, if you know these truths about your attitude, my attitude, it will help us to understand the concept of attitudes better. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I've given you 10. Amen. I said amen. Let us see how we can go. I have about 11 or 12 more. If we can do that, that would be fantastic. Then we'll go to something else. Are you ready? So for those of us who probably were not here, you may have to get the CD so that you can catch up on the first 10. Amen, somebody. So the 11th thing you need to understand about your attitude is that your attitude determines whether you will succeed or fail in life. You know, the difference between success and failure is very small. There is a thin line of difference between life and death. How many people know that? Listen, narrow. I've been privileged, some of the instances, to be near where somebody was about to pass on. Amen, somebody. Privilege. It's just by, probably by coincidence or divine, you know, arrangement. And I can tell you that there's a thin line of difference between life and death. Amen? Amen. Listen, what separates people from succeeding or failing most of the time is not very significant. It's just the attitude, the application. Amen, somebody? How they apply themselves. I have discovered this. There's no how you can make a success of whatever you're doing in life if your attitude is wrong. Amen, somebody? Or you have a negative attitude. Now, if you know your attitude plays a major role in whether you succeed or fail, then you will take your attitude seriously. You will work on developing it. Amen, somebody? You see, it's not that some people, I'm trying to remember this man's name, I think it's Dennis Whatley. I'm sure Dennis Whatley. He said, the winner's edge is not in a gifted birth or IQ or aptitude. He said the winner's edge is in the attitude. In other words, what gives you the winner's edge in life? It's not whether you are brainy, you are intelligent, you are smart. No, those things are good, but that's not what makes you a winner. It's what your attitude. Say attitude, somebody. Because you agree with me, there are many intelligent people, there are many brilliant people that don't turn well in life. So it's not about the brilliance. Amen, somebody. It's about your attitude. Amen. So we need to pay attention. Look at this. Daniel and his three friends, young men, they found themselves where? In a strange land. No pastor, no daddy, no uncle, no whatever. Amen, somebody. It's an opportunity to misbehave. Go and ask any young person. Freedom is one thing that, I mean, some of you are looking at me in a strange way. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you have been itching to leave the house. And once when you leave, they say, hey, praise God. Nobody here to tell you what to do. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, Daniel and his three friends, they could have turned up like the prodigal. You know that? They could have. But they did not. Why? Because they had the right kind of attitude. He said, well, God is not here. Are they sorry? The priest is not here because God is everywhere. Amen, somebody. The priest is not here. Daddy is not here. Mommy is not here. But God is here. Amen. So I will still what? Conduct myself in the right way. Oh, pastor is not here to tell us this is what is right, this is what is wrong, but we know what is right. Whether pastor is here or not, we will do what is right. That's what the Bible says. They proposed that they are not going to defile themselves. The priest does not have to be there. They knew the word of God. They chose to what? Obey it. And you know that they had what? I mean, Daniel became a great man. In fact, a great statesman in a strange land. Hello? I said, hello? Look at Joseph. Similar story. A man of means, born into a wealthy family, by circumstance found himself, he became a slave. Now, do you know that that thing would have affected him negatively? Hello, somebody? If he did not possess a positive attitude, he could have, in fact, he could have sunk into depression. Listen, I mean, there's nothing that can bring you so down or low when you know that here you are at your beck and corner. Servants are what? Ministering to you. You can eat anything. You can do anything. You now became a slave. You have been asking permission for things. I mean, that can make you to lose your mind. Rather, you see Joseph, he maintained what? A positive attitude, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. When he found himself in the hands of Potiphar, becoming a slave, He applied himself. Hello? As if to say that was not enough, you know, due to the right kind of attitude he had, God began to promote him, increase him. The wife of Potiphar cast his eyes on him again, landed where again? In prison. I mean, you look at him and say, am I the only one? God started elevating me, and lo and behold, I found myself in prison. It's like going from frying pan into fire. And you know something? The prison of those days, where he found himself was where they kept the king's prisoners. Amen? So it's not just ordinary prison. It's like going to Kirikiri Maximum Prison. Amen, somebody? Are you in the house tonight? So things were really, really... But even in prison, say even in prison, you have the right attitude. You see, that's what we're talking about. If you are going to succeed in life, your attitude is key. Do you know that if he chose a negative attitude, he could have sunk into depression or die before his time? Look at your neighbor and say, you will not die before your time. Tell him, I say, you will fulfill your colorful destiny. Say it to yourself, say, I will not die before my time. That's why it's important that you pay attention. Your attitude determines whether you succeed or fail. If you understood, I said, say amen. Number 12, it takes time to develop a positive attitude. A positive attitude is not something you develop overnight. No, it takes time. It takes time. Someone say, how long? Listen, I can't tell you the number of time. Amen, somebody? But the truth of the matter is, there's no fixed time. It takes time. It's going to take time. So you must give it time. Amen? The attitudes that you have now, especially the ones that is negative or bad, you did not acquire it overnight too. Hello? Listen, we have to be determined. You must be resolute. You must be willing to walk day and night. Because, listen, I'm not telling you something that you use probably, you start developing within the next 21 days and everything will change. No, you may have to work at it. Amen, somebody? Amen. For months. Hello? Or even years before it begins to show. That's why Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 verse 15, he says, meditate on these things, give yourself wholly unto them. Why? So that your profiting can appear unto what? To many. Do you know that it takes patience to bring forth fruit? Hello? Do you know that? If you have been a farmer before, or you know about farming, if you plant a maize seed, you must be patient. Hello, somebody? You must be patient for the harvest. Was it last week or Monday? I'm not sure whether it was last week. While I was, you know, going on my walk, I saw a man. I know he has a farm along that Shubola area. And I saw him carrying a basket of yams on his head. And I could see the smile on his face. Amen, somebody. It's harvest season. Amen, somebody. I mean, one thing is sure, one thing is definite. Because when I greeted him, I could see the smile. Was happy that my efforts were not in vain. These are the fruits. Amen, somebody? Of tendering the ground for so long a time. It's the same thing. Listen, harvest does not show up overnight. That's what somebody says. Somebody said some years ago. He said, it takes time to succeed. And that's true. Let me say this to you. There's nothing like an overnight success. There's nothing like that. If you suddenly arrive, you will suddenly disappear too. It's just a matter of time. Okay. I want to give you this assignment. Go and check out people who suddenly manifested or arrived. Go and check where they are 5-10 years or so down the road. Most of them have disappeared into oblivion. Hello? I said, hello. That's why, you know, there was this research that was conducted of people who won, you know, millions of naira through all this lottery and whatever. They discovered that more than 90% of those people, I mean, this was a research that was conducted, they have returned back to their penury. So winning a jackpot does not guarantee that the money will grow. There's what we call the principle of what? Managing money. Amen, somebody? Multiplying money. Amen. Or making money. Those are things you must know. I mean, somebody can give you a lifeline at 100 million. Listen to this. Do you know how to manage money? Do you know how to make money? Do you know how to multiply it? Those are skills you must acquire if you want that money to stay. If you understand what I say, say amen. So tell him, say, it will take time off. But listen, we have to be encouraged. We have to be committed. Most of the time, people give up so soon. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, keep working on your attitude. Tap and say, keep working on it. You will get there. If you believe that, say amen. Number 13. The 13th thing you need to know about your attitude is that our attitudes are contagious. Do you know your attitude is almost like, you know, somebody, the way somebody can catch a cold or flu. If you are living in that same area and you are very vulnerable. Hello, somebody. Especially if your immunity is low. Amen, somebody. You can easily catch what? Flu. If you are staying in a place where somebody has flu or cold. Why? Because it's infectious. It's contagious. Attitudes are also what? Contagious. You can be infested. Hello, somebody? Or affected by what? A good or positive attitude. I mean bad attitude. That's why I always tell people, be careful the kind of people you hang around or where you go to. Do you know that who you work with or the people you associate with, listen, their mannerisms, their behavior will rub off on you. We were somewhere, I can't remember, with some people, and, you know, what I want to say would look funny, and this person began to speak. Was actually a preacher, started speaking. Now, nobody needed to tell me his origin, his roots. I said, oh, this person's from deeper life. Amen. Somebody. Why? Because the way he was speaking like what? Like the set man, you know, pastor, I mean, W.F. Kubi. Amen, somebody. Now, he didn't have to rehearse it. He didn't have to practice it. But because he has stayed in that environment, hello, somebody? He rubbed off on him. Amen, somebody? Amen. I said, amen. Amen. When I was in 200 level, one of my uncles who lived in the north, he stayed in the north when my dad and, you know, when we were all small, we were there, they left him there. And my grandma, before she died, I'd always been wanting for, I mean, desire for him to come home. So he came home when I was around 11, and he came with his family, wife, two of the children, one boy, one girl. Now, when he wanted to leave, my grandma, you know, gave him conditions that this is the condition upon which you are going to leave. You are going to leave one of your eye here. Okay, I'm speaking in Proverbs. What that means is that you must leave one of the children behind, so that that will commit you to coming home often. Are you getting the story? So he decided to leave one of the daughters, the girl, behind. Now, this is why I want to bring up. This girl was probably like about maybe 4 or 5 years old when they brought her. She did not understand English. She did not understand Yoruba. The only thing she understood was Hausa. Now, once the dad and the mom left, listen to this. All of us that she was living with, our language was English and Yoruba. This is what I want to say. Do you know that within 3 years, she had completely forgotten about Hausa? Hello, somebody. If you see her today, she's a full-grown, you know, she's a mother herself. She does not even understand the basis of Hausa anymore. What am I saying? Those of us who were around her, we're not speaking Hausa. We're speaking what? Yoruba and English. So the spirit of Yoruba and English
caught up with that.
You know what, you know what I'm talking about. So attitudes are like that. They are contagious. That's why if you stay around people who have negative or bad attitude, it will rub off on you. And if you stay around people who have positive and the right, it will also rub off on you. So tell your neighbor, say, watch your complaint. In fact, let me say, choose your complaint wisely. Sometimes I say, attitudes are contagious. Let me give you a biblical example. 12 spies went to where? Promised land. Out of the 12 spies, 10 brought what? Evil report. Hello? Only Caleb and Joshua brought what? Do you know that the negative attitude of the 10 spies affected the whole congregation except Caleb and Joshua? The attitude of Caleb could only rub off on Joshua and vice versa. It didn't affect the other 10 guys because the other 10 guys had what? A negative attitude. And it affected an entire nation. In fact, for you to know how bad it was, Numbers 14, verse 1 and 2, they rose up, they wept all night because of what those people said to them. Ah! There are giants there. If you go there, the land will eat you up. You are dead. So tap your neighbor and say, attitudes are contagious. That's another thing you must understand about attitudes. They are very contagious. Number 14, your attitude reveals the kind of person you are. Do you know your personality or your temperament? Do you know we can know, rather, your personality or your temperament from your attitude? Hello? I said, hello. If you are the kind of person that is always moody. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. You have that moody attitude. Amen, somebody. Or you have an unforgiving attitude. Say unforgiving. Say, money like it best. An eye for an eye. Even the Bible says it. Amen, somebody. A tooth for a tooth. Amen, somebody. It reveals the kind of person you are. Amen, somebody. If you have an unforgiving attitude. Amen, somebody. Or you have a lazy attitude. Some people have an optimistic attitude. Very optimistic about life. Very positive about life. Some people have a pessimistic attitude about life. They will always see what will go wrong. No matter what you say. Some people have a laid back approach to life. Laid back. You don't take initiative. Amen, somebody. Nothing moves you. Amen, somebody. Unless you are moved. You don't have to move yourself. Amen, somebody. You know, somebody was telling me a very funny story. And I said, well, I don't consider that. He said, whenever he's been housed in an hotel, he said, he doesn't like to go and stay in the topmost floor. I said, why? He said, in case of fire, I said, I've never even thought about it once. I mean, most of the places that I go to minister out of the country, if they put me, if I'm most of them, I like to be at the top. Even somebody, he said, I like to stay in the middle or anything down from the middle. So I was wondering, I said, why? He said, just in case of fire incidents. I said, you praying there? He said, that's the best way to live. Oh. We are not too far away. I mean, I never saw that in my life. I said, hey, really? I just stay anywhere they put me. If I like to be top. Amen. So what? He said, no, stay anything in the middle and below. But I mean, I've never even thought about that kind of thing. But, you know, the reason he was choosing that is because of the kind of person he was. Amen, somebody. So your attitude reveals the kind of person you are. When Caleb said, let us go up at once, we're able to take the land. That reveals the kind of person he was. The kind of person that said, there's no need to waste time. Let's go now. There's no need to procrastinate. Let's go now. Let's go now. Caleb was a go-to person. There's no need to waste time. God has said it, let's go. So I said, wait, let's begin to pray. Pray about what? I mean, God has spoken. Are you in the house? So tell your neighbor, say, your attitude reveals the kind of person you are. Some of us have heard from God. We are still procrastinating. We are still dragging our foot. What are you waiting for? God has spoken. Amen, somebody. Hello? Now, if you don't act on the instruction he has said, he will not say anything new to you. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, it's time to develop a positive attitude. Number 15, your attitude determines how you respond to work. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. How do you respond to work? How? We don't respond to work in the same way. And you see, the reason we don't all respond to work the same way is because of our attitude. Are you the kind of worker, or are you the kind of person, when you're given an assignment or a task to do, you always come up with reasons why it cannot be done? Excuses. Romans 2 verse 1, it says, thou art inexcusable, O man. If you always a ready-made excuse, say ready-made. For everything, then it shows the kind of attitude we have. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 29, have you seen a man that is what? Diligent in his what? Business. He shall stand before kings and not what? Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, what kind of attitude do you have? How do you respond to work? Are you responding to work? Things that ought to have been attended to is still on your table. Amen, somebody. Weeks after the assignment has been given. You know, we don't respond to work in the same way. Some of us respond to work very quickly. Some of us, we respond to work very slowly. Amen, somebody. Listen, the king's business requires haste. How many people know that God will not wait on us all day long? There's a task, there's an assignment that needs to be done. And let me borrow the words of Zebediah, it needs to be done with a sense of alacrity. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you need to respond to work quickly. If you are always foot dragging, if you are dilly-dally, amen, somebody, you don't do what you need to do on time, is an indication of the kind of attitude that you have. You wait until things pile up, amen, somebody, and you are rushing, amen, somebody. It shows the kind of attitude. The best way to live is to live prepared, amen. Look at them and say, live prepared. I was telling somebody who came for counsel for ministry. I said, there used to be a time that I read my Bible because I want to preach. Amen, somebody. There used to be a time like that. Early days, you are reading the Bible because you want to preach. Just like my younger sister. God bless her heart. Amen, somebody. In those days when she was operating on what I call kerosene anointing. You know kerosene anointing? Kerosene anointing. You know, when you put kerosene inside wood, the fire will what? Come up. But after a while, the fire will go down again. You know. What do I mean by kerosene? Some people are looking at me in a strange way. I mean, you know, everybody has passed through that part too, of that part in your Christian development. You are up today. You are down next week. Amen, somebody. I don't know what I'm talking about. You are up this month. Next month, you are down. Next month after that, you are up again. Then you are down. Amen, somebody. In those days, when she's up, everybody in the neighborhood knows. Because early in the morning, 5:30. In the morning, early in the morning, everybody will be hearing a sonorous voice in the neighborhood. Amen, somebody. But you see, by next month, you cease to hear the voice again. Say, where goes the voice? The voice has disappeared. Amen. Because the fire has gone down. Hello, somebody in the house. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Tell him or her. Say, it's time to respond to work. Where was I? I can't really remember what I wanted to say. I think I'm going to say, I've forgotten what I want to say. I wanted to say something when I used that example. When I started the ministry, thank you. You know, at times you go on a tangent and just forget what you said. Amen. Used to read the Bible because of what? the message until God corrected me. I said, that's not the way to live. But I said, hey, you'll be taking the all night. The message said, hey, Holy Spirit. You do mass attack on your Bible. Mass attack. Everybody said, what's happening? Say, ah, Friday morning, they are just telling you. You are preaching the whole night. You say, hey, Holy Spirit. Ah, say, you can go. I'm not going home today. I have to prepare till evening. Amen. Shabbat. Don't need all that kind of fire brigade approach. If one had believed already. Because that's a bad way to prepare. Read your Bible for you. Amen. Shabbat. And not read it because you have to go and feed others. No. Out of what you have been fed with, then feed what? Others. That's the best way to live. Amen, somebody? So tell your neighbor, say it's all about attitude. How do you respond to work? Number 16. It's easier to have a negative attitude than a positive attitude. Do you know that? It's easier to have what? A negative attitude. Than to have what? A positive attitude. Have you ever asked yourself, why is that so? Why is it easier to have a negative? Because you see, by our orientation, by our training, that's who we are. We live in a toxic world. We live in a negative environment. Yes or no? That's the truth. It's easier to manifest a negative attitude. In fact, you don't need any special training to develop a negative attitude. You don't need. You know, I was telling somebody this. Why is somebody a sinner? Can somebody answer? Why is somebody a sinner? Thank you, sir. That's the word. The nature of what? If you see a pig, I know a pig. You dress the pig up. You wear the latest clothes for the pig. Amen, somebody? You give the pig manicure, pedicure, amen, all the whatever. You perfume the pig. And you put something like a chain around his neck, and you are going in the neighborhood. Say, this is my wonderful pig. Go, what lovely pig. Nice clothes. Nice. And as you are going, amen, somebody, there is a dirty pool. A mire. Amen, somebody. Listen to this. Naturally, say naturally. Without much ado, your pig will be gravitating towards the mire. And if you are not careful, if you say, why are you talking in that place? Follow me. He said, if you by chance remove the chain, no amount of calling him nice names will bring your pig back. Your pig must go and wallow where? Inside the mire. Why? It's in the nature of the pig to wallow in the mire. It's the same thing when it comes to attitude. Amen, somebody? Naturally, we are prone to what? Having negative attitude. You don't need to do any special work. It just manifests because that's our training, that's our orientation, that's the way we were raised. Amen? Developing a positive attitude is work. W-O-R-K. That's what the Bible says, work out. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and... Let me say this. Though we live in a negative world, it's possible to have a positive attitude in a negative world. And Jehovah will help you to cultivating and developing a right attitude in the name of Jesus. Number what now? 17. The 17th thing you must understand about attitude is that to a large extent, we are responsible for our attitudes. You know, there are some people who blame even God, or who blame their parents, or who blame the way they were raised. So the reason I have this kind of attitude is because of my parents, is because of my training, is because of where I was born. You know, a wise man once said, we don't choose our circumstance, but, you know, God is the one in a way that chooses what? our circumstance, but we are the one that chooses what, how we respond to those circumstances. Listen, it's a lazy man's excuse. You are looking for the easy way out when you don't take responsibility for your attitude. Let me say this. Your attitude is a choice. What did I say? Your attitude is what? It's your personal choice. Don't say the reason you have this negative attitude. Like someone was saying, he said, once that thing comes upon him, there's nobody that can talk to him. Listen, you chose it. Listen, the Bible says, neither give place to what? Satan. Satan does not have influence and power over you without your cooperation. I say that again. Satan does not have any power or influence over our lives without what? Our cooperation. It is when you open the door and you say yes to him. Anybody that has opened the door to Satan should be ready for what? His operations in their life. But you have the power to say no. Tap your neighbor and say, you have the power to say no. Let's stop playing the blame game. Adam played the blame game. Who told you you were naked? It's the woman you gave me. Woman, what happened? It's the serpent. Nobody wanted to take responsibility. Genesis 3 verse 11 to 13. So look at the neighbor and tap and say, take responsibility for your attitude. When the king, Nebuchadnezzar, told Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, look at it, that's fire. Think well, well. Amen, somebody? Tap and say, think well, well. Do you still want to, are you still want to go to your faith, or you will bow jejele? And nobody will know. Listen to me. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they chose to have what? The attitude of faith and courage. No matter what happens, sir, we are not bowing down. They chose that attitude. Amen? Attitude of faith, attitude of courage, attitude of defiance in the face of what? Obstacles and challenges. They chose it. Hello, somebody? So tell your mother, you are responsible for your attitude. Please, listen. If you keep blaming people, if you keep blaming others, you are looking for an easy way out. The real culprit is the person you see in the mirror. Amen, somebody. When you look at the mirror, what do you see? Hello? I said, when you look at the mirror, what do you see? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, it's time to take responsibility for your attitude. You see, that's why parents, we have awesome responsibilities in raising up our children. You know, when some children are throwing up a tantrum, amen, somebody. Now, I've seen, you know, permissive parents who say, that's the way he is. What number? That's the way he is. You are the one who allowed the baby to be like that. Hello, somebody. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in that of a child. But the rod of what? Talk to me. Rod of what? We drive it out. Far away. Hallelujah, be to Jesus. I said, hallelujah, be to Jesus. One of our members came to see us, was it 3 weeks ago? And we're asking about the daughter. They said, she's asleep at home. I said, asleep like how? So the man was saying that, she slept, is it compulsorily or by force or by default? Anyone, amen, somebody. She was throwing up some tantrums, and man said, be careful, was it good? Be careful. Then the man brought out the instrument of dominion. Say instrument of dominion. Say instrument, somebody. He didn't use it, he just brought it out and said, can you see it? He just kept it there. All of a sudden, amen, somebody. Yeah. She came back to her normal senses and she just sat down where she was. So where she sat down, she just fell asleep. Amen, somebody. So all the I don't have control. You say you don't want to accept responsibility. Tap your number, say accept responsibility for your attitude. You need to take responsibility for it. Don't look for the easy way out. When you do such kind of things, you are not helping yourself. You know, especially in relationships like husband and wife or fiance or fiancée, if your partner notices something and is telling you, this thing, does it, amen, somebody? You know what I've discovered? You know, everybody has a blind side. Say blind side. Everybody has a blind side. That's where somebody else will see it better. Amen. Than you do. Amen, somebody. So tap your neighbor and say, stop arguing unnecessarily. Do the needful. Amen, somebody. I don't want to go beyond that. Amen, somebody. Number 18. Our attitude is the difference maker. Listen, attitude is not everything. It's a little thing that makes a lot of difference in our lives. There's a story of a man known as John Stephen. John Stephen Akwari. A-K-H-W-A-R-I. Is a Tanzanian marathon runner. He competed in the 1968 Olympics. That is Mexico City Olympics. He ran the marathon. Along the line, because of the high altitude of that city, he developed some cramps. And what happened in the process was that he was injured. Now, he had the option of dropping out. He said he was not going to drop out. He kept running with the injured leg. In fact, by the time he was nearing the stadium, more than 2/3 of everybody in the stadium had gone home. But news flew around that. There's still a man running though, with an injured leg. So the press, everybody came back. And once he entered into the arena of the stadium, people stood up and they were clapping for him. Needless to say, of course, he came last. Hello. So when they went to meet him, why did you continue? Knowing fully well that you are injured. He said, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to come to the Olympics. Amen, somebody. Amen. To compete. They sent me to finish the race. Not to compete. To finish. Yeah, finish. He said, so I finished. Now, do you know that the reason he finished was what? His attitude. Some people say, why are you wasting your time? There's nothing. If I first, second, third, even best loser, there's nothing. So why are you wasting your time? Just take it easy. He said, no, I didn't travel 5,000 miles to come here to watch the stand. I came to finish. Ask your neighbor, say, are you a finisher? You see, attitude, our attitude is not everything. It's a little thing that makes a lot of difference. You know, there's this funny story I read about Abraham Lincoln and one of his advisors. His advisor was saying, you know, this man, I'm recommending this man for this position. So Abraham Lincoln said, I don't like the face of the man. The man said, he's a good man. Don't look at his face. Then Abraham Lincoln said, listen, a man that is above 40 years old is responsible for what? The look on his face. I'm not choosing him. And you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that story. Do you know your attitude shows on your face? Little children know what I'm talking about. Especially maybe teenage children. Go and do this. You don't want to do it. And you squeeze your eyes. I said, what is that? He said, nothing. You know what I'm talking about. The attitude always shows we are on our face. Because you can hide it. Amen. So tap your neighbor and say, your attitude makes the difference. That's why it's important to know this truth about our attitude. That number 19. You have a part to play in developing a positive attitude. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you ready to play your part? You see, listen. Thinking or assuming that God is the only one that has a part to play in the development of your attitude will be deceiving yourself. Sometimes you say, I have a part to play. Come on, say it. Let's say, I have a part to play. There's nothing God can do without your cooperation. Amos 3 verse 3. Can two people walk together except they what? They agree. Listen. It's time you start playing your part. Until you begin to play your part, God who is not fully committed to doing his part. Most of the time, you see, the truth of the matter, God is waiting on us. We say we are waiting on God, but God is actually waiting on you. Because you have refused to do what you are supposed to do. In any promise, any covenant, there's always what? A human side, a divine side, there's a man's side, there's a God side. If we are going to develop the right kind of attitude in any situation or circumstance of life, you have a part to play. If you understood, I said, say amen. Ask your neighbor, say, are you playing your part? This is a very important thing that we have to settle once and for all. Then number 20, let's run. It's possible to develop a positive attitude towards life. Regardless of your experience, your background, your training, or whatever you have been through, your past, you can still have a positive disposition towards life. It's not what happens to us in life that matters. It's how you respond to it. Some of us have not been able to walk away from difficult and painful experiences that we've had in the past. We are still tied down by that negative experience. One of my friends who came to see me last year said something to me. It was even last year, probably maybe 2 years ago. He said, man of God, there is no how you can be better if you are bitter. And I want you to know that that is a statement of fact. In our times, listen, even for most of the time, when you are still grieving and sulking and crying and doing whatever, listen, most of the people that you think did one thing or the other to you have even moved on. And here you have refused to move on. Look at your neighbor and tap it and say, don't let what happened to you tie you down. You still have a glorious future. There's a beautiful future. Listen, your past is nothing compared to the future. In fact, that's why I love God. God does not use your past to determine your future. So if I were you, I will not allow what I passed through. I will not allow what I've gone through. Amen. I remember a testimony Kenneth E. Hagin shared in one of his messages I listened to. He said, in their family, worrying is normal. Amen, somebody. He said his grandmother, champion of warriors, his mother, champion of warriors, and he too, a warrior. He said one of the things he found difficult to give up was a worrying attitude. Worrying. Say worrying. Anxiety. You are fretting. You are losing your sleep. Amen, somebody. Until, listen, and God helped him to overcome that negative attitude. You may have a complaining attitude or you have a nagging attitude. Amen, somebody. You can overcome it. Tap it, you can overcome it. Some of us have an unforgiving attitude. We find it difficult to forgive people easily. Amen, somebody. I once had a story about Clara Barton, founder of the American Red Cross. Somebody was trying to make her tour. He said, have you forgotten what that person did to you? He said, what person? He said, that person, have you forgotten? He said, I can't even remember because I have distinctively forgiven that person. The person concerned cannot even remember the incidents. Thank you. Concerned brethren. And I'll reminding you. Not that people are like, they will be helping you to remember what the person did. You, have you forgotten? If you don't forget the past, you cannot embrace the future. That's the reality. You cannot embrace the future. No matter how painful, your future is still better than your past. So look at it, and I say, you can develop. And you will develop a positive attitude in Jesus' name. Then number 21, the 21st, is there anything like that? 21st, amen. I want you to know, amen, somebody. There are many English major here. I know Debbie is looking at me in a critical way, amen, somebody. The 21st truth about attitude that you must know is that your attitude determines what you see. Watch this, God's people. Our attitude determines what? What we see. You know, what you see is not just determined by your eyes. Hello? Or where you are positioned or placed. The way we look, the way we see things is usually colored or determined by our attitude. Look at this statement. God told me this some years ago. In every opportunity, there are what? In every opportunity, there are difficulties. And in every difficulty, there are what? Opportunity. It just depends on what you see. That's the truth. It's your attitude that determines what you see. Because, you know, some people, what some people call opportunity, listen to this. Some people are calling it what? Difficulty is because of how what? They are looking at it. Look at this example. Saul, David in the battlefront. Saul and the army of Israel. They saw Goliath as what? Obstacle. That cannot be conquered. Everybody ran for cover. When David came on the scene. Do you know David did not need time to acclimatize? The day he came and he had. He said, who is this on? He didn't say, he didn't go and fast and pray. He right there. He said, who is this guy? They said, Ojerora. Oh, she said, JJC. That's what you're saying. You have just come. Be quiet. We have been here 40 days. This man has been terrorizing. Nobody can say, shh. He said, wow. He said, no. How can they be speaking? He said, I said, oh, Monday, lose your. What you want to be? Hello? You could see that everybody was seeing Goliath as an obstacle that cannot be missed. He saw Goliath as an opportunity that cannot be missed. Ah! This is an opportunity for God to manifest himself. He said, eh? What did they say? Ah, it's an opportunity for God to glorify himself. He said, no, this is a giant too. He said, it's too big that we cannot defeat him. He said, it's too big, I mean, that I can't miss it. Can't miss the target. Hello? Look at your neighbor. Say, it's how you see things. Oh. I've told you the story of the servant that Elijah had when he was praying on Mount Carmel. Go and see the, go and check the clouds. 1 Kings 18, 43, 44. He didn't see anything first time. Went for second time. He went seven times. On the seventh time, he said, I can see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, did Elijah told him to qualify what he saw? The question is, what do you see? Whether it's small or big, is your perspective. That's the perspective of what? The servant. Hello? Look at the neighbor and say, what do you see? What we see is determined by our attitude. That's the truth. You see, that's why we need to pay attention to our attitude. What we see is determined by our attitude. If you see an opportunity as a difficulty, it's based on what? Your perspective. It's based on your outlook. It's based on your attitude. And if you see an obstacle as an opportunity, it's based on what? Your perspective. I pray for every one of us here tonight that God will change our perspective in the name of Jesus. Don't forget, I said a positive attitude is having the right kind of attitude in any what? Situation of life. A positive attitude is having the right kind of attitude that God wants you to have. You are in a waiting season now. That does not mean that God has forgotten you. Amen? Amen. Listen, things will soon change. Don't allow your going through to affect your going to. Look at Jeremiah, it's a test. I know one of our members when she was waiting on the blessing of the fruit of the womb. There's hardly a time that maybe she doesn't come to see me at least once in 2 months or even much more than that. And she will say this, she will say this, she will say this. I said, don't worry, God is working. When God did it, she had the first one. Amen, somebody. Amen. Of course, she was facing a lot of opposition from some of the members of the husband's house. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. And you see, God did it. First one, very happy. Less than maybe 5 months, I can't remember, but it was a few months. And she came to see me. She said, there's something. I said, what's the problem? She said, there's something I'm not happy about. I said, what is it again? Is there anybody trying to trouble you again? She said, no. She said, can I tell you? I said, you can tell me. Amen, somebody. She said, you don't believe it. I said, believe what? I said, try me. Amen, somebody. I'm a believer. Amen, somebody. She said, I'm pregnant again. I said, fantastic. Amen, somebody. You see the look on her face. She said, no, this is not what I wanted. I said, what's your problem? Amen, somebody. Say, well, you're not the same person who came at you. I mean, say, he's not like that. So he's like what? I said, you better don't complain, amen, so that God will not come and, you know, strike your mouth, amen, somebody. I said, go and rejoice. I said, this is of God. Before our countenance changed, he came with a moody and, you know, disgruntled, amen, face. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. See, God wants to have the right kind of attitude. There's some people here, you are going through a delay. It's a delay. Delay is not the same thing as denial. Hello, somebody? I say, hello, somebody. Because I know that from this place, saviors are rising. Deliverance are rising from this mountain. Amen, somebody? Kenneth Dickens said, the things you cry about today, you will laugh about tomorrow. That's why you must have the right kind of attitude. Whether there's money in your pocket or not. Amen, somebody. Amen. Hello, somebody. Because many people's happiness is determined by the environment. And that's not how a Christian is supposed to live. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hello, somebody. And I want you to know that whatever you are seeing now is subject to change. Don't put your life on hold because of what you are seeing now. Tap your number and say, it will soon change. And your testimony will be fuller in Jesus' name. I'll probably close on this. There are different kinds or different types of attitude. And basically, they have been able to identify 4 different types of attitude. The first one is a positive attitude. The second one is a negative attitude. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And the third one is a neutral attitude. And the last one is a sinking, S-I-K-K-E-N, sinking attitude. I'm going to explain them and we're going to close on this. Positive attitude. I've told you that the positive attitude is having the right kind of attitude. Having the right kind of attitude that God wants to have in what? Any situation of what? Of life. Now, individuals with a positive attitude, they pay attention to the good rather than the bad. I hope you are seeing the difference. People with a positive attitude, they pay attention to what? The good, not the bad. In people, in situations or events, they will not consider their failures or mistakes as an hurdle, but as what? An opportunity. They learn to, they learn from their mistakes and they move forward in life. Listen, we must know how to profit from our mistakes. How does a child know how to speak? By stuttering. If your child just started speaking Queen's English or started speaking Turenchi, amen, somebody, all of a sudden they say, ah, daddy, how are you? Mommy, how are you? I'm sure you'll be scared. You say, ah, please, let's go and check this child. Amen, somebody. A child learns how to speak by stuttering. Before they can say daddy, they have to say dada, 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 or daddy. Or da. They don't just say daddy at once or mommy at once. Amen, somebody. They will stutter. Amen, somebody. A child learns how to walk by what? Falling. Even if that child has the spirit of Usain Bolt in him, you can't just start walking at, whatever age like that. First attempt, fall. You rise again, fall. It's the rising and falling and what? Continue to rise before he masters what? Or she masters the art. So how come if a child learns how to speak by stuttering, a child learns how to walk by falling, how come people have labeled failure, amen somebody, as what? A defeat. No. Somebody defined fail as an acronym. Fail. First attempt in learning. The fact that you fail does not mean you're a failure. There's a difference between, listen, I am a failure and I have failed. How do you know that? There's a difference. One is what? You are calling yourself a failure. When you say you're a failure, you say you're a failure. When you say I have failed, you are saying failure is what? A situation. And listen, that's what fail is, a situation to learn. That's why we must profit from our mistakes. We must profit from our failures. In the words of John Maxwell, you must learn how to fail forward. He says fail forward means when you profit from what? Your mistakes or your failure. Now, people who have a positive attitude, that's how they look at their setbacks. Amen? Good example of people with positive attitudes in the Bible, Caleb, Joshua, Joseph, Daniel, Paul, the apostle. Oh, great attitude. In the midst of tribulation, he had a positive attitude. He was on the high seas. No cloud, no light, everything dark for 14 days. People lost their composure. He was calm. Why? Of course, he knew what God had said, but his attitude was right, even in that circumstance. Examples of, positive attitude is confidence or faith, optimism, sincerity, integrity, cheerfulness, reliability or faithfulness, humility, diligence, tolerance, determination, courage, love. There are several in the Bible. God wants you to have a positive attitude, not a negative attitude. Can I have an amen to that effect? Amen. And I believe that through this series of messages, God will help you to cultivate a positive attitude in life and towards whatever circumstance of life in the name of Jesus. No matter what life is throwing at you, Jehovah has an answer. Encapsulated in his word by a good attitude in the name of Jesus. Number two, second kind of attitude is called a negative attitude. Of course, a negative attitude is the wrong kind of attitude. Now, people with this kind of attitude, they ignore the good and pay attention to the bad. They ignore the good and pay attention to the bad in people, in circumstance or events. They are likely to complain about changes rather than adapting to the changing environment. People who have this kind of attitude, that's how they look at things. They might even blame their failures on others. You must take responsibility for wherever you are. Amen, somebody? Amen. examples of people with negative attitude in the Bible. The 10 spies, amen. But a classic example is the children of Israel. When they were, in the wilderness, they had a negative attitude. One bad attitude from another. I don't know how Moses survived. Amen, somebody. Cain also had a negative attitude. The brothers of Joseph had a negative attitude. How will you sell your brother for 20 pieces of silver? Amen, somebody. Hello? I say hello, somebody. Examples of negative attitude, worry, anxiety, anger. Amen. Being pessimistic, frustration, fear, resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, inferiority complex or superiority complex, and so on and so forth. Those are examples of what? Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to overcome every negative attitude. Doubt, unbelief, fear, and negative attitudes that we need to surmount, and God will give us grace to overcome in Jesus' name. If you have a complaining attitude, always complaining, nagging about almost everything. It's not only women that nag. A man took a nag, gave me somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. Or somebody are looking at me in the street. That's the truth. Amen, somebody. It's a negative attitude. Amen, somebody. Tap it and say, away with it. In Jesus' name. Number three, the third kind of attitude is what we call a neutral attitude. People with this kind of attitude, they don't give enough importance to situations or events. I could almost call it an unserious kind of attitude. Say unserious, somebody. You see what I mean by that? They ignore the problem, leaving it for somebody else to solve. They don't feel the need to change. If you have a neutral attitude, this is how you will manifest. Amen, somebody? Let me give you some examples of neutral attitude. When you have this passive nature, passive attitude, indifference, detachment, feeling, or feeling of being disconnected, unemotional. Amen, somebody? Good examples of people who manifested a neutral attitude are Eli. Eli heard what God said. He said, he's the Lord. Let him do what is good. Eh? One thing I discovered, you see, most of the time when you see people talking like that, they are in a backsliding state. Amen, somebody? I mean, you heard what God said. I'm going to wipe away. There will not be any old person in your lineage. I will take the priest and say, he's the Lord. Let him do whatever he want to do. You don't say, Oluwa mi, I beg you. Glory be to God. You know the same thing with Solomon? He started well. When God started warning at the end of his life. Listen, God, in fact, raised adversary for some of his, under his nose. He didn't even take heed. He had prophecies. He didn't do anything about it. He became like a disca. Neutral. As if to say, it doesn't bother me. Look at your neighbor and say, it bothers you. Then number four, the fourth kind of attitude is what is called a sinking attitude. S-I-K-K-E-N. This is one of the most dangerous kind of attitudes to have. Why? It's a negative attitude, but beyond being a negative attitude, it's a destructive kind of attitude. Say destructive. Because it often reflects the negativity of the mind. This attitude has the ability to destroy, say that word again, any positive image. Researchers have discovered that it's difficult to change a person with this kind of attitude because it's deeply rooted within their personality. Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that is often rebuked and yet hardens his neck, the Bible says, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. That's a good example. Amen, somebody? Another good example in the Bible is Ephraim. Hosea 4 verse 17. God said, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Leave him alone. So no amount of whatever you can do. Do you know that, you know, I was thinking about this in my experience in life. I've met one or two people like this. Amen, somebody. I saw somebody recently, and he was telling me of someone still doing the same old things. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. You know, at times they say, as you grow old, some things will should is not dropping off in this person's instance. And you see, when the person was telling, I was just thinking about this kind of, I said, I hope this person does not have this kind of attitude. Listen, it's a very, very pathetic and sad state to be when no counsel, no word, no prayer, no admonition can enter that person's ears. Do you know that some people, no matter what you say, what they want to do, that's what they are going to do. In ministry, I've met a lot of people like, I said, why am I wasting my time before? Or why are you wasting my time, brother? Amen, somebody. You know, they say it's difficult for a leopard to change his skin. I mean, listen, you may think that does such kind of people exist? It does. It does. Is the lowest level or worst kind of attitude anybody can have. And may none of us ever get to this place in Jesus' name. Because when you are at a place whereby no amount of instruction, no amount of counsel, no amount of prayer can enter the ears of that person. Amen. The Bible says, he that is up to rebuke and yet addeth his neck shall sort the it's clear. No need to fast, no need to pray. There's no remedy. At times, when you think about these things, or when you see something, and say, is this impossible? God's word cannot lie. God's word cannot lie. Listen, there's nothing God cannot do or help us to overcome with our cooperation. But when you vehemently resist God, there's nothing God himself can do. God is all powerful. Amen? All knowing. Almighty. There's nothing God can do when you vehemently stand or oppose him. Even with his great mercy, his great power, he's helpless. That's why you say, that's why may we never get to a point where our heart becomes callous and cold and hard towards him in the name of Jesus. Let's rise up on our feet. We'll pick it up next week Tuesday. Say after me, say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that your plan for me is to have a positive attitude. I receive your word tonight, and I receive grace and mercy in developing a right attitude in any situation of life. Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. If there are any ways I'm grieving or hurt you, I receive your help and your grace tonight. I know by your help and by my cooperation, I will cultivate and I will develop a positive outlook towards life in any situation. Lift up your hands and begin to talk to him tonight.